2019 may be your final opportunity to see folk legend Joan Baez in concert. Her Fare Thee Well tour is scheduled to run through July, and as you'll hear, it's her last, ending a 60-year performing career, which began with recordings like this one, Girl of Constant Sorrow, from Joan Baez's 1960 self-titled album.
I am a girl of constant sorrow, have seen troubles all my days.
Her latest album, Whistle Down the Wind, has been nominated for a Grammy for Best Folk Album. Note to Grammy people, is it possible that she's had 9 nominations and no wins? When I first sat down to listen to the new record, I thought, well, this will be okay. And minutes later, why are my cheeks wet? Why can't I move? Here's a little of the title track.
I can't stay here, and I'm scared to leave. So kiss me once, and then I'll go to hell. I might as well be whistling down.
So, is this really it for Joan Baez? That's what I asked her when we spoke earlier this year.
You know, I've left it open as far as albums go. My guess is this is the last one. And it also is part of the last touring. You know, 30 years ago, I asked my vocal coach when I would know it was time to quit. And he said, your voice will tell you.
Yeah, but, you know, your voice sounds richer, deeper, wiser. Does it hurt? Do you feel it's harder to control?
Yes, it's harder to control. It doesn't hurt, but a whole lot of the time the sounds I want to hear are not coming out. The fact is the vocal cords are a muscle, and they're tired. And eventually gravity takes over everything, but it's starting with my vocal cords.
Well, and why did you pick the songs that you did? Because they all do sound like they have a whiff of goodbye, perhaps. I mean, I'm thinking of Josh Ritter's Be of Good Heart.
I never had a crystal ball. I never had a crystal stone. I never claimed to know it all. All I know is what I've known.
The only frame that we had when we started was to see if we could create something that amounted to a bookend to the first album, which was nearly 60 years ago. And then it kind of falls in place, and all I can tell you is that it makes its own design. I mean, for instance, if it hadn't had Another World and the President sang Amazing Grace, it would have been a beautiful album of very pretty songs, but it wouldn't have the depth that it has. So some songs, like the President song, Drop Out of the Sky, and are just my good fortune to hear.
This is Zoe Mulford's song that she wrote after then-President Obama delivered a eulogy for the Reverend Clemente Pinckney, who was one of those gunned down at the Charleston, South Carolina, terrible, terrible shooting. And he arrived and just sang, recognizing that words just wouldn't do it. Let's listen to a little of the song.
The President came to speak some words, and the cameras rolled, and the nation heard. But no words could say what must be said, for all the living and the dead. So on that day and in that place, the President sang Amazing Grace. The President sang Amazing Grace.
Joan Baez, is that one you wish you'd written?
Oh, yes. Back when I met Zoe, that's the first thing I said. Boy, I wish I'd written that one.
But the others have said, and I'm thinking of Pitchfork, that in that way, the collection you put together recalls for them Richard Farina's Birmingham Sunday, your sister's husband's song that he wrote after the 1963 bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. And you had that on your 1964 album.
The church, it was crowded and no one could see that
choir kept singing of freedom.
Yeah, it's a little bit bookendish. It's also sad that we still have to write this stuff. And just as far as the voice goes, the Birmingham Sunday was done in a voice which I no longer have. I mean, I may not any longer need it, but I miss it.
What do you mean by that? The range or the...
The range.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can, if I'm very clever, I mean, about reinventing songs, I find the range, and then I find where I can kind of pop up out of that range for a little bit, but I can't sustain a note up there, which is kind of distressing, because that knocks certain songs right out of the repertoire.
Two things. First of all, a wonderful misspeak. I find the rage.
Yeah.
Rage and range. But I'm hearing your struggle as an artist, but as a listener, again, just the depth that I'm hearing is a beautiful thing to hear. Let's listen to another piece. It knocked me over. Apparently, it did you as well when you first heard Mary Chapin Carpenter sing this when you were on stage together in 2017. The Things We're Made Of.
I felt the air on my face and the night pressed inside my palm. A moment captured in a place. This memory stays strong. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. Oh, my darling, oh, my love. The things that we are made of.
Joan Baez, what is this song written by Mary Chapin Carpenter about for you?
Actually, just beauty. I mean, I heard her singing it, and I immediately started to cry. And then I went over when she was through and put my arms around her and said, I want that song. And she said, take it. She'd already recorded it, but...
What else would you say to Joan Baez? No.
No, it's mine.
Well, it is, and it is just beautiful. How are you... I mean, we've talked about your voice. How are you feeling about the life that you are stepping away from and what you created?
First of all, I'm sort of experiencing premature nostalgia. Mm. It was the first or second night in Paris during the shows there, and I suddenly just had a meltdown. I thought, well, what's this about? Well, you know, it was about having the first real feelings about the end of touring, because I've been doing it forever, and I've loved it. And I love it now.
But also, you feel pretty good about yourself. You were at some important moments in history. You were not sentimental about things. You were clear-eyed. Whether it was anti-war, anti-poverty.
Well, first thing comes to my mind is that I was just wired for it. The background of my family, I'm sure, has something to do with it. That they became Quakers and they became serious about not hurting people. I got passionate about that. And then, as it turned out, I could sing, and there I was, 13 years old with my ukulele, singing about Emmett Till.
The young black man who was murdered.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. The young kid who was murdered. And, you know, I could have done opera, but I wanted something, it appealed to me that folk music was connected with people and with the earth. And then when I heard Pete Seeger sing and heard about him and the things that he did, it felt like home.
Yeah. Of course, a huge part of your career, singing out passionately against war. When we spoke a few years ago, and I told you, relayed a story about how, you know, we had done protesting in the late 60s, and it had driven a wedge between my father and I. He was a Marine who served at Guadalcanal at 16 and couldn't understand this. And years later, I had forgotten about that rift. It was during the Watergate investigation, and it had just been revealed that Nixon had waged a secret war in Cambodia. And I get this call from him on the phone, and he just said, I will never forgive that man for coming between me and my daughter.
Oh, dear.
Well, I looked up, and you were crying.
Yeah. As I am again now. Those things are so meaningful, and we probably talked about it back then, but somebody comes up in San Francisco and says, you, Joan Baez, yes, boy, did I hate you in the 60s, and boy, was I wrong. No, that means everything to me.
That's Joan Baez, For more on her Fare Thee Well tour, go to hearandnow.org. Joan Baez, so I'm just saying maybe like a revival concert at some point.
Listen, my goal is not to die on stage in a wheelchair when I'm 90.
Although, what a way to go.
Yeah, that's true. That would be quite a way to go.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Robin.
I need another place. Will there be peace? I need another world. This one's nearly gone.
Our conversation with Joan Baez aired last September. She'll be touring Europe and the U.S. in 2019. Last time. For more information, go to hearandnow.org.